Nobody, it seems, likes Congress. At least that's the conventional wisdom. One group of people especially peeved these days is technology executives. Many of those in Silicon Valley have opened their wallets to politicians, but they don't like the legislation or the lack of legislation they're getting. For more, we turn to Julian Hadam, staff writer at The Hill newspaper. Julian, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So Silicon Valley has been a little bit awestruck by Washington these past few years because Google and Twitter executives keep coming to work here. But what you're writing is that they're really not too happy with the legislative branch. Why not?
Well, not too many people these days are actually too happy with the legislative branch. As I'm sure you know, as everyone is well aware, Congress has not been up to too much the last couple months, the last couple years. It's been characterized by a lot of partisanship and gridlock and dysfunction. And that is obviously a problem for everyone, and it's kind of coming under fire from all corners. But for Silicon Valley and for these tech company executives in particular, they think that especially on their issues, they really feel kind of frustrated. Members of both parties, both Republicans and Democrats, like to go out to Silicon Valley, like to hang out with tech company executives. There's kind of this bipartisan appeal of these entrepreneurs who have this great idea and then come up with a new company and then succeed. And that's, been something that's been attractive to members of both sides, and a lot of the issues that they fought for, like immigration reform, like reforming the current nation's patent system, these are by and large bipartisan ideals. And I think that they are frustrated that they give a lot of money and host a lot of fundraisers and are willing to appear with lawmakers a lot, and yet their issues just aren't getting done.
It's interesting, too, I think that, without getting into politics here, but what choices of tycoons members of Congress are happy to be seen with, I guess like Tim Cook, who's as wealthy as any of them, or Larry Ellison, they like to be seen with them, but not with people from the so-called dirty old industries who might be equally tycoonish.
That's exactly right. There's this sense that, the tech industry is the cool guys. So not only will you kind of, maybe take their money and meet with them to talk about ideas, but you also get your picture taken with, the head of Twitter and then post it on the internet and say, look, here we are in Silicon Valley hearing from innovators. But, no one, not too many lawmakers go to Wall Street and then hang out with Jamie Dimon and get a picture taken with, these big Wall Street tycoons and say, look, here we are, learning these interesting things. There's this kind of cool factor and kind of, cachet that you can get from Silicon Valley that is attractive to a lot of members and makes them seem kind of in tune with the times and in touch with things. And these companies say that they're kind of getting frustrated with being used as this
props.
Exactly, as a prop.
All right, let's run through some of the issues in detail that you've written about. A big one for a long time running, especially in all of the high-tech industries, semiconductor design and software and so forth, is immigration reform. But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but when Silicon Valley and similar types of industries talk about immigration reform, they're not talking about the same thing that Chuck Schumer is talking about.
For the most part, no. So their big issue is what's called these H-1B visas. For the most part, there's some other things, but these are visas that allowed high-skilled workers to come and stay in the country. And pretty much their argument is that, we have people from all over the world come to MIT and Virginia Tech and Caltech and Stanford and, great programmers, great developers, and then they can't stay in the country and get a job. And if you're, Twitter or Facebook or any of these new upstart companies, which have immigrants at the top of their boardrooms and, all throughout their company, that's a real problem that you can't kind of have the workers that you want. So they have pushed for changes to the immigration program for high-skilled workers, but they've also kind of talked about that as part of a broader shift. In some extent, this is kind of messaging and realization that if you want to get your issue, you kind of have to fight for broader immigration reform as a whole. But Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook head, was one of the co-founders of this group called Forward.us, which made a number of big splashes over the last couple of years trying to push for kind of a broad, comprehensive immigration reform. But so far, those issues have come to naught, obviously. The Senate acted on a bill, but the House has not done anything and is not going to do anything, at least for the foreseeable future, on the issue.
Well, I guess they need those people to come in and do the technical work, and I guess they need another type of immigrant maybe to take care of the manicured lawns of Los Gatos and Palo Alto.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is it's a kind of all of the above approach, at least to some extent. The coders, developers, and programmers, that's kind of the top of their list, but I think that they have been talking about the need to get a broader immigration set of reforms done.
All right, we're speaking with Julian Haddam, staff writer at The Hill newspaper, and you also mentioned patent reform patent troll reform legislation, which was torpedoed by Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. What's that all about?
Sure. So this is an issue that did not gather a lot of headlines, but for technology companies, it's a really big deal. Basically, if you have a patent, a lot of these companies, as a lot of these companies do to kind of protect their ideas, they say that these so-called trolls buy up a lot of vague patents and own a number of patent licenses, and then they'll kind of file lawsuits saying, hey, you're infringing on my idea, you have to pay me XYZ amount of money. And the problem, according to these companies, is that these letters are often very vague. They don't exactly say what patent is being violated. And it can be really expensive for these companies to have to fend off all of these fights from these trolls. So there was a bill that got through the House last year. The Senate was about to take it up this year. There was weeks of negotiations. And then as things were starting to look like there was some progress being made, the effort died. A lot of people, Republicans and Democrats, said that that was a fault of Harry Reid, the majority leader, who did not want to move forward with the issue, who did not like the way that it was going, and said, no, that, you know, too much, not right now.
Well, isn't Harry Reid, I mean, I think it's not a secret that people like he and people like him are very close to the tort lawyer lobby and so
exactly.
Forth.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of the issue here. A lot of people said that the trial lawyers, the tort lawyers, did not like this idea. They thought this was not going in the way they wanted it to go, and they had it killed, more or less.
All right, and then National Security Agency reform. This has been a big bone of contention because many of the tech companies with data like Google have been caught up kind of in a crossfire between law enforcement, the federal government, the courts, and all of this. So what are they hoping for that they're not getting at this point?
Sure. Well, this is an issue that actually it's not totally done for the year yet. There is some inclination that the Senate might move on a surveillance NSA reform bill in the next couple of weeks here. We'll see what that happens and how that works out. But essentially, you know, these Googles, like you mentioned, the Facebooks and the Twitters of the world, you know, their reputation has been really, really hurt by the Edward Snowden leaks. A lot of people around the globe think that if you go on Facebook that the NSA can read everything you write. And, you know, that's costing them in dollars and cents. There's been estimates from the industry that it could be tens of billions of dollars over the next couple of years just due to lost trust. And you see this all over the world. Companies are kind of, or countries are moving away from using American tech companies and maybe using their own companies who have advertised on the fact that, you know, we're not American. The NSA cannot look at our files. And it's become a source of real frustration, and so that they have asked the Congress to do something to implement some reforms to increase privacy protections. And one of the big things that they want the government to do is to allow them to be more transparent. So basically to let these companies give more details about the kind of information that they have to hand over to the NSA and other federal agencies. There's a sense that if they can do that, if they can at least tell people what's going on, then that will really help them in the eyes of the public and help make sure that people stay on Facebook and stay on Google and don't abandon them for some other company.
And what about Silicon Valley versus other areas of manufacturing in the more traditional parts of the country with respect to the old bread and butter topics like tax rates for both corporate and personal income taxes? Sarbanes-Oxley and the burden that puts on corporations. Does that set out there on the West Coast ever bring those up the way you hear from some of the more traditional, I guess, Rust Belt manufacturers?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're, you know, any corporation, kind of tax reform is a big deal. And this is, of course, another bone of contention that, you know, major, quote unquote, the big deal, the grand bargain on tax reform, to, you know, lower the rates, lower the corporate corporate tax rates. That never got done. And that's another kind of problem for a lot of these companies. But one of the things that they have focused on in particular, there's some tax credits for research and development that's been very key for the technology sector, for kind of keeping those initiatives moving, for keeping investments in R&D up to pace. There's a bill that's likely to get passed in kind of the current so-called tax extenders package at the end of the year here. They say, you know, let's make this permanent. Let's kind of fix this problem and not make it so that we're every couple of years relying on, you know, hoping on a wisp and a prayer to kind of make sure that these credits are involved and make sure that these tax rates stay what they are.
All right. Julian Hannum is a staff writer at the Hill newspaper. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.